Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
It's time for The Score's post-game show, presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing, number one in premium decking. Order free samples at TimberTech.com and by Aturo Tire, Chicago's hometown tire. Find a dealer at Aturo.com. Now, here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Chicago's Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
Well. The Bears with the big blocked field goal. They missed out on that action last week. That was all over the league. Wow. The Bears with an unlikely win. You're listening to the Football Post Game Show presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing and Aturo Tire. Pretty extraordinary, gentlemen. We got Olin Krutz. We got Patrick Manley. And the Bears have a W.
Man, oh man, were we all over the place on that game, huh? Wow, I mean, up and down. I was off the couch, laying on the couch, screaming at the TV, cheering for interceptions, yelling, stop the damn run.
Oh my God, the run.
Just unbelievable, guys. I mean, just I'm happy for him to get the win, right? We kind of went back and forth who was going to win this game, how was it going to be played. I'm sitting there writing notes about how do you lose a game when you get four turnovers. Obviously, it's you lose by giving up 200-plus yards on the ground. But then, guys, I asked Kayla to be great. And I don't know if he was great, but he did his job in the fourth quarter and scored points there in the last drive, right? So he took another step for me, and I was excited to see that. And then it was unfortunate to see the kickoff team give up a big return. And I'm sitting there again rewriting my notes like, oh, no, here we go. This is how you lose a game. And then Richard Hightower and his group and Josh Blackwell, Duke grad, blocks the kick to win the game. So just unbelievable, man. What an up and down game and super entertaining. And I'm just glad they won because I would feel a little different right now. But I'm happy for everybody that got the win. And I'm happy for Caleb to go down there and win the game in the fourth quarter. How many years have we been doing post-game shows asking for that, for the quarterback to take the team down and win in the fourth quarter? And they didn't. And it's just exciting to see that win, and I'm happy for him.
Yeah, man. I mean, a gutsy performance by the Chicago Bears, right?
Good way to put it.
What'd they have? Five or six starters out?
Yeah.
But what was their chances to win that game? And Pat said in pregame, you know, they would need these takeaways come in bunches. And it sure did. I mean, they got four of them today, right? We gave one back, and then you were worried because they weren't scoring off of them. Mm. And just how were we going to win this game with – Braxton Jones goes out and they can't block Crosby. We talk about Crosby all pregame. Don't let him wreck your game. All of us watching film, not trying to go overboard on how great this guy looks on film. And then you see him in the game. And they make some adjustments. They chip with tight ends. They make just enough plays with Rome Odunze and Caleb again. We talked in pregame about third and long. They've been scoring on third and long. They do it again in this game, man, where they just find a way to make plays. And then Pat saying Caleb took him down the field. He sure did. But the play caller too, right, calling runs in that situation. Calling runs, doing a great job. The first thing I thought is run the ball here. Not only run the ball, not only score by running, but run some clock, right? That's great clock management by the head coach, trying to run the clock down, not give Geno another chance to get in the field goal range. And then the Duke grab, Blackwell blocks the kick. Listen, Miami of Ohio won in volleyball. Illinois won in football. The Bears won. I haven't gone 3-0 in a long time, man.
3-0. It's a good weekend.
The Krutz house. It's a good weekend today. And I just want to say again, Amali, what a gutsy performance by Chicago Bears. Nothing was pretty. It was ugly, man. It was an ugly football game on both sides, but you go down there with all those guys out and you find a way to win. It's hard to win in the NFL.
Yeah.
Coach Ben Johnson, congratulations on your first road win in the NFL, because that is hard to do, Pat, like you know.
Yes.
And I didn't give him any chance to win this game after watching film and looking at how many guys they had out. But they go out there, they battle, they fight. Yes, we're going to talk about all the stuff we saw. But just for right now, they found a way to win that football game. That's in the NFL. No one cares how you win it. You win it.
Olin, real quick, the gutsy performance you're talking about, too. You know, I praised Caleb on that last drive. He was under pressure a little bit, but you have to give those tackles credit, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were blocking a little bit of one-on-one there. I know Caleb escaped a little bit, but you've got two young tackles out there, and you're still able to go down there and score in the fourth quarter. So that you summed it up perfectly with gutsy, because that's exactly what that is. You started the game with five starters out. You lose your left tackle. For them to go out on the road and win that game, and I want to give those tackles credit as well. You know, Ozzie Trapillo stepping in, Theo Benedict playing both sides. A lot of credit for them on that last drive. So just gutsy. That's a perfect way to describe it. And it was that's a good win. I mean, that's great for the locker room, too.
That's a great win, yes.
Yeah, it's a great for the locker
room. I had a great feeling when I thought that Ben Johnson might beat up the halftime reporter. I said, man, we're heading in the right direction. We're heading in the right direction here, right?
Wow. Yeah, he was a little bit out of line. I mean, yeah, I didn't think
not
she
happy
said
about
anything.
The questioning.
Yeah, but the questions were legit. It wasn't like she was trying to goad him. I you know, it's funny because you hear from people that there are a lot of people nervous in the building because the guy's so intense, and now you see that. And I'll tell you what, I like that there are a lot of people nervous in the building, and I certainly like that he's that intense. But that was maybe a bit much. I don't know. I felt bad for Aditi. That was a tough spot.
Hey, man, I'm all right with it. If that's the personality of the team now, let's go with it. Let's go with it. Get that personality if you're aggressive, and I got no problem with it. And like I said in the pregame, coaches are calling out players or setting a high standard. You know what I mean? They're making people uncomfortable. Now he's making reporters uncomfortable. I'm okay with it.
I got to tell you, I mean, there was a point there in the first half where I believe they had starting field position at the 24 of Las Vegas, at their 20, at their 24 again. I think they marched down to the 24 at one point before retreating, and they end up with 9 points. And you couldn't help but feel that they'd had all this opportunity and they're trading field goals for touchdowns. And how do you win a game like that? Especially the way they got absolutely flattened in the run game. They couldn't stop a run for their lives. And you're just worried about that. But I got to say, it's an extraordinary victory for the Bears. And we were going back and forth, and I got to tell you, I think that feeling that it's Caleb time, as you said, Pat, Olin, the idea that, you know, now this is where you win a game, and they really did do it. You got to feel good about this team, about this coach, and just the fact that they are at 500 going into their bye week. I don't know anybody that would have felt that would happen when they came out of Detroit.
No, they fought back, and you got to give them credit. And Olin, it's, again, back to gutsy, because you watched the beginning of the game, and I felt like it was just going to turn bad, right? I knew they were getting the turnovers. They're not getting the points. They got the ball in the 24, the 20, and the 24 again. And like you said, 9 points, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be bad. I mean, this is a game where we're going to have to explain how you lose a game winning the turnover battle. And I thought it was that they were giving up 7.7 yards a rush, but it's gutsy, man. It just, again, that says a lot about leadership from Ben Johnson, that locker room, them believing. And these wins, they go a long way, man. You start believing in your players. And I think I talked about it a couple weeks ago that I did talk about it a couple weeks ago that I always believed like Urlacher would make a play, Peanut would make a play, somebody would make a play to win the game, cause a turnover to get us back in the game. Well, now we've got a quarterback that I'm starting to believe in the fourth quarter, at the end of halves, can score points. He's interesting to watch because he looks calm in that last drive, right? To me, he looked calm. Like, all right, I've got this. Even when he's scrambling and running around, he makes me feel comfortable, and I like that. I haven't seen that in a while from a quarterback here in Chicago, and that's another game for Caleb that you can put a notch in his belt that we're seeing growth.
Yeah, and it wasn't like last week, right, Pat, where he was, like you're saying, it wasn't like he was protected well the whole game, right? Mm-hmm. He still was calm and hanging in the pocket, and his yes. his feet didn't get happy, right? Like he was taking hits. Max Crosby was all over him. Kuntz was pressing him. They were batting balls, right? They were trying to push the pocket on a shorter quarterback. They had a good game plan for him, but like you're saying, it didn't rattle him, which was a question I had from last week. Okay, yeah, you looked great when everything was really nice in the pocket, right? He had a really good pocket last week, had a lot of time. But this week was a little different, and he still came out there in the fourth quarter, hung in the pocket until he couldn't, right? Like you're saying, there was some pressure, and he had to use his feet, and he's really good at that too, and led him down the field and did the things he had to do. And here's the good thing about what Coach did, right? Coach Johnson did. He didn't have to be Superman. Mm-hmm. Right, take him down, right. Boom, start handing the right. ball off. Give it to yep. Swift. Theo Benedict had a great block on the touchdown run. Took out two guys, right? Like other guys making plays that tells you that we have not only one guy being great, but maybe we have a really good play caller, which is what we thought we had when they hired the head coach. Yep. And like you guys talking about, man, I mean, come into the game and you're saying, okay, I don't see them. I'm saying on film, I don't see them stopping the run. And yep. Pat says to me, well, they'll get turnovers come in bunches. And you're right. That's the only way they were going to win. Right? Only way they were going to win after that. Yeah. Because they were going to give up, in my mind, they were going to give up 200-plus yards rushing. Right? That's the way it was going to be. And everyone said the Raiders couldn't run the ball. And I was thinking they haven't seen the Bears yet. And all we needed, guys, was Chip Kelly to be averaging 7 yards a carry and throw the ball in the first play in the third quarter. That's exactly what we need, and we got to thank him too, right?
Like they can't help themselves, man.
No one's stubborn with the run, and that's fine because that's what the Chicago Bears need. But Tyreek Stevenson, a tip of the cap to him. We talked to him
about that
in the pregame show. We talked about him. Can he be the number one guy? Can he make the plays? Can he cover the receiver? What an interception on that play! Wasn't like Geno gave him the interception. He dove, man. He made a great play on that. It was a great play, and the Bears converted that to 3 points, and they win by one.
Yeah, that was a great play on his part, and he made a couple of them. He stepped up and stopped the run at one point, and someone had to. They went off on the run. They had, I believe, 240 yards rushing in that game. Mm-hmm. Ashton Jeanty, we had talked about him. I believe he went into the game with his career high in the previous three games with 63 yards. He finished with 21 carries, 138 yards. Obviously, he had the big 65-yarder for the touchdown. 6.6 average. He also caught two touchdown passes. Like, man, that kid looked like a player. The Bears really helped him get healthy. But Max Crosby had as good a game as you're going to see. That guy is just he's just a force of nature. It's pretty extraordinary what he's able to do.
I mean, it really is. You know, going into the week, we talked about him in pregame. They obviously talk about him all week and have a game plan for him, and you still can't stop him. it's impressive. And the guy doesn't come off the field. I don't know where he gets that energy, the motor, whatever it is, and just the instinct. He's pretty special. I think I tweeted at one point the Bears had 6 points, Max Crosby had 7. Like, it just seemed that way that he was winning the game, that he was that impressive. But give the Bears credit. At the end, they scored, 25 points to win the game and neutralized them a little bit. I mean, he still was affecting the game, but, you know, Ben Johnson changed some calls and fixed some stuff up. But he's fun to watch, man. I wish we had somebody like that on the Bears. He's just a lot of fun to watch each week.
It's crazy when you talk about the game Jeanty had and the game Crosby had, and then you say and Pat said the Chicago Bears won.
Yeah.
Right? And Pat, like we talk about, the hardest thing to do in the NFL is to learn how to win football games any way you can. You walk out of there, you don't care as long as you walk away with the W, as long as you walk away by winning that game. And they came away, and the takeaways were big. The defense was huge today. And then, like we're talking about, the Caleb and Johnson and everybody on that last drive, and Caleb being under pressure all game but still being comfortable in that pocket, man. He didn't have happy feet at all, Pat. He just sat in there, kept his eyes up. Adam Archuleta, I don't know what game he was watching, but he was calling the game and saying things that weren't going on the screen, which was awesome to listen to, too, right? You just all around, they were just, you know, there was a snap too early, and there were penalties again on the off. There was everything we talked about they couldn't do. Everything we talked about they couldn't do. And they did it and won the game. And to me, man, with six starters out and guys start to come back after the bye, I don't know. I don't know anymore what this team could be. And there's problems they got to solve, right? The penalties, stopping the run, like all the things we talked about, all the things I talked about why they would lose this game going to Las Vegas. But they didn't because they got the turnovers and Caleb helped and had that last drive at the end of the game. They won the game. And then, Pat, special teams, right? Taylor's punt, that's huge.
Yes, oh, huge.
That's huge, man. I mean, we were waiting for that, right? And then Blackwell's block. Mm-hmm. That's huge. Special teams came up big.
Yes. Yeah, it's the perfect game from a coaching standpoint where you win, but you got a ton of stuff to teach us off of, right? Mm-hmm. Especially going into the bye week. So great news for the Bears. We will be right back. We're going to open up the phone lines. 312-644-6767 is the number. You're listening to the Football Postgame Show presented by Timber Tech Decking and Railing and Aturo Tire.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
A 54-yard attempt to try to put the Raiders in front. Jacob Goldenmeyer, the snapper. A.J. Cole, the holder. The kick is blocked. Unbelievable. In agony down in that Vegas sideline. It was Josh Blackwell sneaking in who got a fingertip on it. First blocked field goal for the Chicago Bears since week two of the 2023 season, and the reaction from Ben Johnson.
Sparrow, that's unbelievable. You know how rare it is for an outside rusher to be the one to block it. When you see blocks, it's usually up the middle. For him to be able to bend that corner, get his hands on the football, just an incredible play and an incredible finish for Chicago.
Welcome back to the Football Postgame Show presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing and Aturo Tire. We've got Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley. I am Mully from the morning show. And gentlemen, we got a lot of callers as well. So we should get right to that unless someone wants to say some salient point, Patrick.
I got something about the block. I got to give Josh Blackwell credit. He's to block a kick from the edge, what Adam Archuleta is talking about, that's effort. And the other part of that is studying tape and keys and figuring out what the keys are as far as the long snapper with his hand, watching the holder with his hand movement, listening to cadence, studying the wing, how he blocks with his outside arm and all the stuff like that. So Josh Blackwell has always been one that gives max effort. And I'm sure, being the Duke grad that he is, he's studied a lot of tape. but I just got to give him a lot of credit because that is a hard thing to do off the edge just because the space, the width, or whatever you want to call it, to be able to get there in the time of, like, it's less than 2 seconds, about 1.95 seconds between snap and kick. Or actually, it's less than that. So, but I got to give him credit. There's a lot that goes into that. It's effort, it's get off, and studying tape and studying his keys. So good for him.
All right. Olin, you got anything to add to that? You ever block a kick?
I could not come off the edge without pulling a hamstring. I think Pat would know, man. I mean, that special teams is a special thing. If we're talking about special teams, I'd love Pat to break down Hardy the way he runs down on kickoff because that guy is a menace to watch on our kickoff team. The only thing I thought about while we were in break was I was thinking about that last drive with Caleb again, Pat, and the things you were saying. I was like, with the whole game, I don't know if I have much to say about what Caleb did. By that, I mean he played efficient quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, he did a great job of playing just quarterback. And really, if you think about it, that's being Superman.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. That is actually what you want to see him do. And it was he is right in front, like with Ben Johnson and that marriage right there. I know we've had two teams here that, you know, aren't upper echelon, but those are steps for the Chicago Bears.
No doubt about it, Olin. It's a great point. And again, it doesn't have to be one spectacular play or one moment or, you know, he's got great arm talent. I think we always knew that. But I think the other thing that's happening as we're watching the season unfold is what the head coach talks about, buy-in. It seems like he's realizing how this is helping him, and he is kind of doing exactly what you want him to do, and then taking over when he needs to, doing the special play when the time comes. And it's, you know, somebody said it's like someone comes in who wants to run an orchestra, and you got a jazz musician who just wants to play, and you got to figure out a way for that to kind of work in unison. And I think we're watching it unfold.
I think we are. I mean, you paid the man $13 million for his offensive scheme, right? And you drafted Caleb for his arm talent and his talent. And I think now we're seeing a marriage come together where Caleb is learning from Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson's learning from Caleb. And Caleb now is understanding, and what I've seen is that the NFL game is different than the college game. You've got to be able to play from the pocket. You've got to be efficient. And that's what he did today, didn't make mistakes, and then was able to, in the fourth quarter, score the points and take the offense down there. So that's the growth I've been wanting to see. And I think we're hearing it, too, again, at the line of scrimmage. Him communicating with everybody, you know, getting everybody in the right position, getting in and out of the huddle. So that we're seeing growth, and that's what is exciting me with Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams, too. Well, Ben Johnson's been an elite play caller, and hopefully Caleb Williams can become an elite quarterback.
All right, let's get to the phone lines. We've got Jesse. He's in California listening on the Odyssey app. Jesse, how you doing?
Hey, good. Hey, thanks for having me on. Long time listener, first time caller. You guys are great. Hey, Olin, you're one of my all time favorite Bears. I watched you compete pretty much your whole career. Still haven't replaced you, in my opinion, at the center position. Some of my favorite memories were of you competing against Big Pat Williams in those battles. So thank you.
Well,
but anyway,
Jesse,
I'm calling in regards to our run defense, and I just want to ask your guys' opinion. Is this something correctable that we can get better at? I hope we can get better at that. And where is Montez Sweat? He is a complete non-factor. Is he even active? And watching the opposite defense with Max Crosby, is he a top 10 defensive end, like he's being paid to play? Anyway, I'll hang up and listen. Thank you, guys.
Well, I think that the D-line is struggling as a whole. If we just talk about the negative that came from today's game was that, right? And the things I talked about, for a couple of weeks now was seeing Jonathan Ford come in and play nose guard with Billings. And, of course, Billings had that huge play on the quarterback sneak. And when they went for it on third down, when he dominated the middle of that defense, it caused one of those takeaways that we are talking about. But overall, the pass rush and the run stopping is not very good, guys. And that is something they can improve on. And to the caller's question, Pat and Mully, can they improve at that? That is a great question, right? That is something that where is their pass rush going to come from? If Montez Sweat and Dale can't ramp it up and get going a little bit more, I don't know. You know that I really don't know where do you stop the run. Hopefully, T.J. Edwards coming back helps with that problem they have. Yeah. But that is a problem right now when you look at this football team.
Yeah, Nolan, you got to put Tremaine Edmonds in that as well. I mean, Adam Archuleta called out a couple things where he was running behind blocks, but he has to be an impact player there as well in the run game, and he really hasn't been. So it's a whole front seven problem. And I don't know if it's fixable. It's, you know, I think Dennis Allen's probably trying everything, but they just got to play better. When you see them getting knocked off the ball the way they are, that's not encouraging. It's
there are times they're out of their gaps, but I'm also seeing a lot of times where they're just getting blown off the ball, and that's what's discouraging.
All right, yeah. We're going to take another timeout. We will be right back with you. We'll get to the phone lines. It is the Football Postgame Show presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing and Aturo Tire on the screen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Score.
Third and two, Vegas. 43 seconds left. It would be about a 53-yard field goal from here. Smith a handoff to Genty, and he has stood up. Kevin Byard, who has been just remarkable in this game. Two picks, dropping Genty for a loss of a yard.
Welcome back. It's the Football Postgame Show presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing and Aturo Tire. It was a huge play. It's third and two. They are at midfield, and Kevin Byard comes up and does something the Bears did very little of in that game, which is stop the run, stop Ashton Genty. In fact, it was a 1 yard loss, and then they blocked the 54-yard field goal attempt on fourth and three, so therefore we are naming that the hit of the game. It's sponsored by Est Wing Professional Tools, made in the USA for over 100 years. EstWing.com. Great stuff from him. He had two picks in that game. Pretty good game for Kevin Byard.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime your safety has two picks, that's a good game. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, what I thought was interesting too about him being a veteran studying tape, and Adam Archuleta pointed this out, that he jumped the two routes, right? That to me is game prep. That's sitting there studying tape, understanding their route combinations, and knowing what's going to happen. And credit to him. He did miss the tackle on Genty on the long run.
Yes.
That's the only thing I got to give him. If I'm a coach,
right,
I'll coach him hard on that. But other than that, he had a pretty darn good game.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't
really
the only
game.
Guy. I'm sorry, Olin. I was going to say he wasn't the only guy to miss the tackle.
That's true.
Genty was tough to bring down the whole game, but Byard had two good pitches, reading Geno Smith sitting there. Looked like he was in cover one. Looked like he was the robber. Can we talk about a little bit about Dennis Allen's third down package right now, which has baffled the last two quarterbacks they play, where they walk up with that simulated pressure and either dropping a man, robber, or dropping to some zone. And it's been really tough on these quarterbacks. And Al Harris, we talked about the secondary coach, going to the game. They've done a great job, man, Pat and Mully, in stopping guys on third down. If they can get guys behind the sticks, which they don't do often right now with their run defense, but if they do, that third down package that Dennis Allen has, I'm going to have to be honest here, Pat, that I'm probably going to do a little studying on this thing, because it is seems like it has really been hard. It was really hard on Dak Prescott last week, and now Geno Smith. And we're talking about two veteran quarterbacks who played a lot of football. One guy's checking down to tight ends when he doesn't have to, and the other guy's throwing the exact same pick to the exact same guy twice in a row. So
right. The
player has to make the play. Amazing job by Byard today. And also the defensive scheme right now on third down, the things we heard about Dennis Allen, where he complicates. I think you heard Tom Brady say he hated playing against him last week because it was so complicated, the schemes he put out there, and he couldn't figure out what they were doing. Guys, we're starting to see that on film.
I can't wait to get you breaking it down, Olin, because apparently Tom couldn't get it done over the last week as he was informing everyone of the secret information he had learned.
I'll call Matt Bowen. He'll do it for me.
Oh, yes. Smart football man right there.
Hey, Pat, there's a big sign on the highway that I abide by when there's construction going on. Stay in your lane. That's what I do. Stay right in my lane, man.
Never.
I know what I don't know.
For help. Yeah, call the right people.
I know what I
help.
Don't know, man. My biggest strength is I know my limitations.
Well, here's stats here on his defense, right? You're talking about the third down defense. He was second in the NFL going into this game, only giving up 30% first downs or on third down percentage, and he was 2 for 8 in that game. Or the Raiders were 2 for 8, so he kept it up again. So he is very good on third down. That's pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's get back to some of our callers. We've got we had Jesse in California. How about Dan from Missouri? Hey, Dan, welcome to the program.
Hey. Thanks a lot for having me. Love you guys' show, and you know it's an honor to be able to be looking at Olin Krutz and talking to him or with him in the area. Lived in Illinois, born and raised, moved from there in 72, but I've been a Bears fan ever since. So needless to say, I've had lots of down years in the last several years. Every year it's always the same old thing. All right, we got a team. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Well, we got one now, and then all right, well, they're letting me down. No, they're not. We have a team. Let's keep this team together. Just do what we did today, freaking win that game with all our guys out, and they never give up. I mean, let's go Bears.
Mm-hmm. Dan, the honor is ours. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, I love it. It did feel good, though, guys. I mean, we got to be honest. It was a tough game. Like I said when we opened on the show, it was up and down. You're off the couch. You're screaming. Stop the run. Great interception. But to see a gutsy win like you called it, Olin, like that it feels good. I'm happy for the Bears fans. I'm happy for me. It's going to be another good 2 weeks for us to be able to talk about the 2-2 Bears going to play the Commanders instead of talking about a made 54-yard field goal and the Bears lose at the end again.
Talk about
fixing, stopping the run. The Commanders are coming, huh? That's good news. no, but like you know, Pat, just be you know, we know who the Chicago Bears have played the last 2 weeks, right? We know that.
Yes. Yes.
But we also know where they were last year and where they're trying to come from. And learning how to win is huge, man. Mm-hmm. It's a really big deal to win a game like that on the road. You want it home, and you want it on the road, and we know we're not blind. There's a lot of things to fix. We know the Raiders' problems going into this game. We know what we're watching. These are two games they had a chance to win. But guess what? You got to go win them.
Right.
You
got
to make the plays to win the game. And credit, you're talking about a Byard there making that tackle. Well, it was a tackle trap, and they pulled their right tackle, Glaze, and Shamar Turner hits him in the face, right, and causes that traffic in the backfield. A young rookie who we talked about before the game, Pat, that guy has pads down, learn how to play the run. And it doesn't mean he did it right the whole game, obviously, with the 200-plus yards rushing. But on that critical moment, when you got to make a play to win the game, you're talking about he's hitting the tackle in the backfield, causing some traffic, and then Byard comes free and makes a tackle.
Yep.
All right, we've got Jay. Get a load of this. He's at Sid Luckman's gravestone. Hey, Jay.
Yeah, this is Jay Bisler. I'm down here at Sid Luckman's gravestone, and I just want to ask, how many times are we going to run plays right up the middle, you know, between the tackles there? All of our success comes from the outside. You know, we got a great passing game, but the running game seems like it was suffering today, but because we stayed between the tackles. You know, Sid, I'm from the other side. You know, I'm just asking, when are we going to make a difference there? Thank you. Go Bears.
I honestly thought he was going to talk about Caleb, you know, being deserving of. Listen, you know, you can't live outside the tackles, and that's part of the problem, right? I mean, you got to be able to play football. You got to be able to get a hard yard.
Yeah, they average 2.7 yards. We just know they're not a good running football team right now. We talked about it in the pregame. They've got a lot of work to do, and I thought this game would be a chance to get right, and they didn't. They're just not there yet. Is it players? Is it calls? Is it scheme? I don't know yet. I think they're still trying to figure it out. But, again, the bye's coming at kind of a good week. They can do some self-scouting and figure this thing out. Kyle Manungai only had 4 rushes for 18 yards, 4.5 yards per carry, long of 9. Maybe he can grow into that between the tackles runner. We'll see. But they do have to get better at that.
I thought he was hitting the hole today and seeing a little more, kind of like we talked about with Genty, getting used to NFL holes and how to hit it and how fast to hit it and what's a hole and what is not a hole. But, no, in the first half, man, the Bears' offensive line was overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, when they had to go with the two young tackles, I thought the protection got a little better in the second half. The run game got a little better in the second half. And it's just we know what like we talked about. We know what we're actually seeing, right? We know what we're watching. We know when you get Pat, what is that now? It comes in bunches. What is that in two games? eight or is that eight takeaways in two games?
Yeah. That's eight and two. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a recipe for winning, you know, but eventually you're going to be in a game where everything's kind of even and you got to find a way to win it, right? And that's what you're worried about when you watch these films and you know what's really happening and the teams you're playing against and you start to think about, okay, Green Bay Packers, the Lions, and the Vikings, and you think about our division. But the way you play today, could you beat them? We know what the answer is, right? We know it's no. But they're still finding ways to win these football games, and we're going to give them the credit that they deserve, and we know they didn't stop the run, and we know they didn't run the ball between the tackles.
Yep. Bears 2-0 when they get four turnovers, four takeaways.
There it is. You should
pretty
be.
Good. Yeah, exactly. Let's
the
try.
Dose of Lovie Smith lives on.
Yes.
Let's try Freddie. He's on the north side. Hey, Freddie.
Hey guys, how you doing tonight? I'm very excited about this win. Mm-hmm. I wasn't in the first half. I'm going to be honest with you, that Crosby was a beast.
Oh.
And like Olin just said about the two young tackles, I want to give them some credit. You could really see in the second half that the adjustment was made, and it kept Crosby. He wasn't dominating the game like he was in the first half. So I'm impressed. I'm happy to see that that might be the way to go with those two young guys. And then another point I wanted to make is the coach – Johnson, he made the right adjustments in the second half. He changed up his plan. They moved the ball. You know, when you got four takeaways, three interceptions in the first half and you're losing, something's wrong.
Yeah.
And then I was at the end of the game when they were going to kick that field goal, I thought, you know what? If he makes it, I still think Caleb's going to come back and we're going to win this game. I don't know how much time. I think there was like 30-some seconds. But that would have been it was a great win anyway, but to have him come back and for us to kick another field goal would be awesome. But, yeah, it was a great win, and hopefully we can keep going. And we got 2 weeks to celebrate this, and next game we should even be better. So.
Great.
Pat, yeah. I'll answer quick. The Darnell Wright is their starting right tackle when he comes back. He's a good football player, really talented, does a nice job there. Now, Theo Bennett, I mean, he made an argument for himself in the second half, to be honest.
Ask you that.
So, that's interesting to me which way they go with that. Pat, I'd be interested to hear what your thoughts are, because I was interested when Adam Archuleta said that it's harder now with the field position at the end of games. I think they had 38 seconds, and I felt the same way that Freddie felt. I thought, well, we get the ball back. I think Caleb's going to move us in a position anyway.
Yeah, and I go back to Theo Bennett. The tape he put out there, I want to watch it closer. Mm-hmm. Did he play himself into the starting left tackle job? That's what's going to be interesting. And you know what?
A good question.
You know, they got 2 weeks to evaluate that.
Yes.
And how bad is Braxton Jones injured? We'll see. But does that make them a better football team? We'll see what the coaches decide in 2 weeks when they play the Commanders. And the same thing Freddie said, too. I was like, all right, if he makes this, I think it was 34 or 38 seconds, and they had two timeouts left.
Yes.
And I was like, huh. I would kind of want to see this. I'd rather see them miss the kick or block it like they did, but I was intrigued and excited to see Caleb potentially go down there and score a game-winning or help. He wouldn't kick the field goal, but put him in position to kick that field goal because, yes, I mean, the field position is different now with that kickoff rule. It just shortens the field, and now kickers are making – Cairo had, a 52-yarder, cleared it maybe by 8 to 10 yards, so that's a 62-yarder he had potentially could line up and hit the game-winner on. But – the belief is there, too. Olin, I want to ask you this. Just as a team wins games like this, I felt this way, that there is belief. When you get in those situations, they're always one-possession games. They always seem like that. You know, you watch the Red Zone channel before the 3:25 kickoff, and half those games, if not more, are one-possession games. And when you get into those, the good teams start to believe you can win those. And the number one player in that position is Caleb Williams and the quarterback all across the NFL. And I'm starting to believe in him. I know it's just been 2 weeks now that we've seen the growth, but what I'm seeing, I'm excited for. Do you believe in that? Did you get that feeling when we had the good teams, that when you got down in the fourth quarter, was there belief?
Yeah, you have to build momentum. It's a great point by you. Build momentum by beating teams that you should beat first.
Yes.
And then you start to learn how to win, and you start to believe in each other and believe not only in the quarterback, but we talked about earlier, the system, right? Mm-hmm. And that Romo Dunze is going to make a play like we talked about. That's three games now where it's 3rd and 8+, and they score touchdowns on them by finding Romo Dunze in coverage, and they hit him. And you can say, well, they've all been on coverage busts. I don't care. That scheme, that's setting it up, that's finding the open guy, that's hitting the button, that's them making the play, right? So, you know, they like you're talking about, they did good. And I want to, you know, also talk about when he kicked it out of bounds, Pat Santos, right, when he kicked it out of bounds, we were all over Hightower. Right, and Hightower, the coach and stuff. A little credit to him today, man.
Yes.
Richard Hightower, mention him when things go bad. Mention him when I don't like his press conferences, but mention him today also. When the punter makes a good punt, and he designs, what is that, Pat, overload left, right?
Yes.
Hippolyte, and I think it's maybe Brisker and Blackwell over there, and they go after that kick. Like you know, Pat, better than me, when you block a kick, it's usually two or three guys drawing blocks.
Always.
And the other guy screaming off the edge, man. Yes. So, really... Again, we've named now and defined for the callers and the listeners three or four or five plays that the Bears had to make to win the game, right? They had to make these plays to win the game, and you have to give credit where credit is due.
Yeah, that's all across the board.
I got to tell you, I have to go back and watch the play, but the fake flea flicker, I did not. That did. I mean, and I know I'm probably watching the camera, and it fooled the camera. But that was a seriously cool play, just for a run play where the guy, you know, they're going through all this. Now, it's a pity his hand, it looked like he was trying to give him a stiff arm, and his finger, his pinky, got stuck in the guy's face mask. So you get a penalty there, and you're drawn back. But I just thought that was a cool play. I thought he sort of ran a funny play off his own play from a week ago.
He's fun to watch, man. He dials it. They ran the stumble bum as well, right? I mean, was that
on purpose?
That had to be. Okay. Yes, because DeAndre Swift fell too. He went to the ground.
Oh.
So, I mean, he's dialing up. He's feeling comfortable. And as long as they work and they're not turnovers or something like that, this is kind of fun. And I think I said it on the hit this week that, Olin, I just remember you guys, when things were rolling, that's when you start putting in fake play, or the fun plays. You've gotten all the simple details down, the simple game plan down, all that kind of stuff, and then you can have fun putting in these trick plays. But, man, he's going to the well kind of early, and that just seems like who he is and what he likes to do.
You know, when someone puts on their, you know, their voice message, hello, and you start talking, they go, just kidding, you know, like, hello, and you start telling, like, oh, how's it going, Pat? And it's like, hey, leave a message, I'm not here. That's the way I felt. Like, they went to throw the ball back, and I was screaming, don't tell me Swift screwed that up again. Right? Like, I thought the play got screwed. I felt like Coach Johnson, I mean, I wasn't happy he got me, too. I mean, it was, like Mully's talking about, it was a pretty cool play, man. I don't know. I know Archuleta said his pinky got stuck. I don't know how he saw that from where he was sitting. There's things he saw from where he was sitting I could not believe. But whatever happened there with the, you know, it's a fake flea flicker and then a face mask on a running back. There was things going on in that game. It did not lack for entertainment. I tell you that much. It did not lack for entertainment.
No. Yeah.
And then they found a way to win the game. And I'm telling you, man, I know. People are going to say, Olin, it's the Raiders. They're terrible this year. So are the Cowboys. This team can't beat a good team. I agree with you. I agree with you right now when I watch them on film. But
who
you got to start somewhere, like Pat's saying. You got to build momentum, man.
Yep.
Hey, you know, we mentioned it on the pregame. They won in London, whenever that was. Then there was like 81 days, and they won again, and that was the last game of the year. We haven't seen them with back-to-back wins in quite a while, right? It's been like a year, so why not enjoy it? I don't understand why you'd ever get worked up over all the things that are going wrong or the teams they're beating. I mean, it's a heck of a lot better than losing that game. I think everybody feels better. I'm sure the team feels better. Let's try. We got to take a break. I'm sorry. We'll be right back. You are listening to the Football Postgame Show presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing and Aturo Tire on the Score.
Raiders are up 2 on third down so far. Geno protected this time. Geno over the middle, and that's picked. It's Byard, his second INT of the half, and his third in the last five-plus quarters.
Spiro, this, I believe that this is the exact same. This looks like the interception from the first quarter. Same look, Byard in the middle. He's going to look at Myers coming inside, and he's going to jump it. It's the exact same play.
All right, we are back. The Football Postgame Show presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing and Aturo Tire. And that it is time for the Who's Hot, Who's Cold. It is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Plumbing Emergency. Call the professionals. Available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. And that is our hot player, the safety, Kevin Byard. He also had that big hit we talked about earlier. Two picks on the same play. Pretty cool. And guys, for cold, I think we've settled on the run defense. Since this was a team that had struggled to run the football, and Ashton Jeanty may have made the Pro Bowl with that game, for God's sake. I mean, that's the Max Crosby game, don't get me wrong, but, boy, Ashton Jeanty looked pretty good, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the defense has been cold, right, Pat? Yeah. It has been. The run defense has been cold. Mm-hmm. And Byard, and along with Coach Allen and that third down defense right now, is hot. It's very hot in the last two games and hard for quarterbacks to figure out.
Yeah, Jeanty's impressive running the ball, man. You see what he did at Boise State, but then in the NFL, be able to run through guys like he is, his pad level. You thought Byard had him on that 64-yard run around the waist, and he still explodes through that and takes it to the end zone. So he's going to be fun to watch in the NFL for a while. I think they've got a good one. It would have been interesting to see if the Bears would have drafted him, knowing what we have now at the running back position compared to Colson Loveland, not getting much – just not getting much play and being injured.
Yeah, he's playing too much for the Bears to have drafted him.
I tell you what, you better not catch that young man, Pat and Mully. You better hit him. Because if you think you're going to catch and just kind of roll him to the ground, he's going to carry you for 3, 4, 5 more yards. So, an impressive – everyone talked about when he came out, and everyone saw him at Boise State, and people said they hadn't seen a back like this in a while, and he was fun to watch today, that's for sure.
All right, let's get back to the phone lines. We've got Brett. He is in Milwaukee. Hey, Brett.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I'm actually, oddly enough, calling you from Sweden. I'm guessing you guys don't get a ton of calls from there, but I lived a longtime Bears fan, lived in Milwaukee for a while, moved to Sweden a few years ago, and have the privilege of listening to you guys all the time here. It's always a treat to listen after a win. So it's especially to steal victory from defeat rather than the other way around. It's a welcome change, and it's nice to celebrate, especially Stevenson's beautiful pick. I did have a concern question. It's always not fun to raise concerns after a victory, but I love Caleb Williams' talent, his growth, his improving composure. But I'm curious if you guys have the stats available, how many batted balls he has. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard it discussed a lot. And, of course, it's Max Crosby.
Yeah.
And admittedly, had people in his face all day. But even when he doesn't, it often seems, even when he doesn't have the pocket push in his face, it just seems like he gets more batted balls than I'm used to seeing. I don't know if that's just, he's not the tallest guy, or if those are O-line issues, or probably some of both. I was curious to hear what you guys think. And then just finally wanted to rub it in, Olin, a little bit just on the big Buckeyes victory on Saturday. And congratulations on that, Molly.
Brett, thank you. Are you what time is it in Sweden, for God's sake? It must be the middle of the night.
It's 2:30 after a big win like that. You know, it's hard to get to bed. Your adrenaline, you know, watching these night games is hard. It's nice for the noon kickoffs, but these night games, it's hard to get to bed afterwards. And I actually was curious what you guys thought about that. I hadn't heard I listen to you guys all the time during the days and really hadn't heard the batted balls thing talked about a lot. I can't listen to all the shows, but I hear your guys' show all the time because it comes on at 12:30 here. So curious what you guys think.
Thanks, Brett. There might have been three batted balls, one of which was intercepted by Max Crosby. And, I mean, you know, he's not a man of, like, great height. I mean, he is fairly undersized as a quarterback. Or what is he listed at, about 6 foot or 6'1"? I mean, you know, he's not Josh Allen. What can you say?
Mm-hmm. Olin, I'm wondering if this is just something we have to live with, and I wanted to ask you because you played with Drew Brees for a little while. He didn't seem like he'd get a lot of batted balls, but I think when you do have a shorter quarterback, that's going to happen. But what's your thoughts on it? My guess is it's something we're going to have to live with a little bit, and you hopefully don't turn into interceptions like they did today. But if he can continue winning games, I can live with it.
Yeah, my thought was today when I was watching it, Pat, it was, interestingly enough, was that Patrick Graham comes from the Patriots, I think, under Belichick, right? And that's what they would do to short quarterbacks, really compress the pocket and just try to get their hands up. And I think Belichick would work at practice with his quarterbacks. I think they said they had a rake or a broom or something, and they would stick it up and make them throw it through or over it. Is this something that Caleb's going to have to work on? I thought that Ben Johnson might have talked to him at halftime because he started changing his arm angle. I don't know. You guys probably noticed that, too, where he was dropping his arm and throwing it around guys.
Yeah.
Because they were really trying to collapse that pocket. And that's why the Saints would always spend their money on the inside of their offensive line, like the Bears have done, right? And have big guards. And they would mostly what we call jump set guys, aggressive set guys, so they'd keep them on the line of scrimmage and keep their hands on. I think we've all seen where Drew Brees would actually stand on his tippy toes and look up over the protection. He found a way to do it. And I think Caleb's arm talent is really good. And like you're saying, Pat, this is something a lot of teams are going to do, right? And in a first half, our inside three struggled with some pressure and some return stunts. They call it return stunts with a nose guard. Starts on your right shoulder, returns to your left shoulder real quick. And Dahlman got beat by one of those early on. And just guys are jumping. And Crosby does a great job of that, of batting balls. But to Pat's point, and Mully, to your point, and to Brett's point, the caller, he is a shorter quarterback. And teams are going to start to do this a little bit more of, okay, why don't we just compress the pocket and get our hands up? And then, you know, Ben Johnson and Declan Doyle and those guys up there at Hallis Hall are going to have to work with Caleb on finding windows to throw the ball through and to work on that game. And developing your game, Pat, for anybody in the NFL is nothing new. People finding your weakness is nothing new. You overcoming it is a big thing to do.
Yep.
Olin, we're going to play a little bit of the post-game show from Ben Johnson, his comments after the game. I'm just curious, when you played with Brees, I was told that even though he was not a very tall quarterback, he did not throw the ball from his ear. He threw the ball like at a higher, like he held the ball higher than you know, normally you see guys kind of release from the ear hole.
He does a lot. He did a lot of different things that I'm talking about. Stand on his tippy toes. So what you're talking about, he had a higher release, and he would stand on his tippy toes and look up over the offensive line because, you know, like when I was there, they had Jari Evans and Carl Nix, who were two mammoth offensive guards, right? Really big guys. So they really wanted to protect that inside, and they wanted us to keep the defenders at the line of scrimmage. They didn't want any push in that pocket so Drew could see over it, right? And it's just an interesting thing to watch, and I think that teams will try to copy it, but you got to have guys who can collapse the pocket there, right? You got to have guys who can push everybody back. So we'll see as we go here versus these other teams if this becomes a bigger problem.
All right, we're gonna hear from Ben Johnson. We're going to take a quick time out, and then we'll hear from Ben Johnson. We can get back to your calls. You're listening to the Football Post Game Show presented by Tempur Deck. Decking and Railing, and a Turo Tire on the Score.
We're back with more of the Score's post-game show, presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing, number one in premium decking. Order free samples at TimberTech.com and by a Turo Tire, Chicago's hometown tire. Find a dealer at Aturo.com. And now, here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
Welcome back to the Football Postgame Show presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing and Aturo Tire. We've got Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley. We've got your calls coming up. But right now, let's take a listen to the Bears head coach Ben Johnson in the postgame news conference.
Came out of that game pretty clean. There really was nobody that of note that didn't finish the game. We're in good shape there. Man, I'm proud of our guys. They came through for us. We're building something special here, and I think they're feeling it. Just the belief they have in each other, the belief they have in this coaching staff, I thought it really shone through. This is a huge win for our team. Finding a way in the fourth quarter to come out on top, I just thought that was outstanding for us. So proud of our guys, proud of the locker room. I know it's an ugly game at times. I thought I'd give a lot of credit to the Raiders. They played their tails off, which we knew they would. You know, Coach Carroll is such a good coach. And they have so many good players on their side that it was going to be a dogfight. And they were desperate for a win, and we were desperate for a win as well. And, it came down right to the wire, just like we thought it might. And so, like I said, that's a huge character win for our team, and I just love it for them. Open it up.
For Josh Blackwell, as you've got to know him, what's it going to say about him to make that play?
Yeah, man, he came through for us right when we needed it. And, you know, I'm listening on the headset, and Coach Hightower, who does just such an incredible job with our special teams unit in all those phases, he's kind of narrating it in real time, and he's like, yeah, Blackwell's going to get this one for us. He's going to come through. And sure enough, it came to light just like he thought. And so, man, I was so proud of him. He's a guy that not only is a key cog of what we do on special teams, but a key contributor there as a backup in our DB room. And, that was huge for him.
You mentioned this sloppy game. Talk about some of the penalties and negative yardage. How did you kind of balance almost your own emotions and then obviously the team's emotions as you weathered all of that?
Yeah, it's easy. It's easy to get frustrated. But we don't panic. We just don't. It's not who we are, and that's not what we do. And so, we have a 3-and-out to start the game, I believe, on offense. And, you know, defense comes through for us. And, you know, they end up with 4 turnovers on the day, and we're not able to capitalize on those turnovers to the extent that we'd like to. I could see where either side of the ball would get really frustrated. I could see where the defense would get frustrated with the offense and the offense frustrated with ourselves. And that didn't happen. Everybody stayed the course. No one panicked whatsoever. I thought we came in at halftime. We hit that reset button. That's what we talked about. Take a deep breath and let's come out and play 30 minutes and find a way to win.
What impressed you most about the game when you drive?
Oh, shoot. I can't remember play by play, to be honest with you, but I remember talking to Caleb before he took the field, and I said, this is what you're built for. These are the moments that he thrives in the most. I think that's really been the story of his life, to be honest with you. And I know he came through for us in a big way. That was a heck of a pass rush. We knew what 98 was capable of. And then, the rest of those guys are really hard blocks as well. And so, for us to look up, and we only had one sack, it certainly felt a lot worse than that because Caleb was having to elude a lot and continue to evade that rush. And so, he found a way. The playmakers found a way. Our O-line found a way to hold on there for us to get a touchdown when we needed it the most.
It was a tough sliding through the run game most of the game, but on 3rd and 4 there at the end to call on Swift. What went into that decision to call that? I mean, I'm sure it's 4-down territory, but to trust Swift, to trust your guys in that moment.
Yeah, it's a hard one to answer right now, to be honest with you. I just in the moment, it's just what you're feeling, what your gut's telling you is going to work, and so my gut was probably wrong a lot of the night. So it was good to see it come through, and really it's a credit to those guys. I mean, they know we get down there inside the five. That's what we want to do. We want to be able to run it inside the 10-yard line, and I think they came through for us.
Where did you see from Ashton Jensen, and what made him so hard to
contain? It's exactly what you saw on tape. Whether in college or the first three games this year, he's so compact that you have to hit him a certain way to bring him down. It's really hard for one individual to bring him down, and I thought you saw that time and time again where arm tackles, they're not going to do it. It's going to take a swarming mentality by the entire defense. And if it is just one man, you got to hit him just right to bring him to the ground. So, we had a plan to look to contain him, and he got after us pretty good. Yeah, I thought that O-line for them, they came out guns a-blazing as well.
And what do you think about the atmosphere here inside? You just say it seemed like a lot of Bears fans.
Yeah, it's my first time here in Allegiant, and pretty cool to see the Bears fans travel like they did. You know, it's the appeal of Vegas might have had something to do with it, but yeah, I'd love for that to happen every away game we have going forward.
What would the offensive tackle switch you guys made?
Yeah, we knew going into the game that Ozzie was likely to get some snaps for us. He's a guy that just keeps getting better each and every week, and so we were just at the point where we weren't doing a whole lot on offense, and we felt like that might give us a little spark and ignite us a little bit on offense there.
Speaking of the spark, what was it looking? Four turnovers, second straight game, three interceptions, second straight game. They're not using interceptions, or a couple of them are diving on.
I know. We talked about it. We talked about it last night, how we were going to need to get some turnovers on the road here to get our first road win, and those guys came through. Byard came through with two of them. I thought Tyreek had one of the more athletic plays I've seen. The way he bounced up after that, I thought that was incredible. And then, we don't win that game without those turnovers. You know, just the way that they were able to move the ball. Like I said, had we been able on offense to capitalize on that a little bit more, it wouldn't have come down to the wire like that. But 1-for-4 in the red zone for us on offense, it's not gonna win you a whole lot of games.
And sorry if you already answered this, but you talk all the time about the pride you in your group take in adjusting. With Caleb today, the pass rush that he was facing, did you see some adjustment in the second half to realize that there isn't time enough to be fast?
Yeah, I really felt like our guys just focused in, and they took a deep breath there at halftime, and they took a lot of pride in doing the best job that they could. So I'll have to go back and I'll look at the tape. I don't know play call wise if I was really that different in the second half than I was the first half, but I'll have to go back and I'll look at that.
Ben, was that a version of stumble bum we saw earlier in the game?
Yeah, you know, that was one of those, we have a group of guys that come up with plays, and we felt like that could take advantage of something that we saw. We were really in two down territory in my mind at that point anyway, so I knew that we were going to go for an explosive play on that one, and if we didn't get it, then we were going to go for it on the next one. So it happens sometimes, you know. I mean, that's the cost of doing business. Some of them hit, some of them don't.
Torrey Taylor kickoff, was that already covered in
here? Yeah, so Cairo was feeling a little something, and we were getting him checked out, and so Torrey came through for us. From my understanding, Cairo's good to go.
All right, that's Ben Johnson, and I guess he answered one question. We asked if Theo Benedict was now going to be the starting left tackle. Sure seems like that. He said that they had to make a change to get something going. He also said that nobody of note could not finish the game. So I don't believe that Braxton Jones was injured.
Yeah, Olin, you and I were texting back and forth. I saw him kind of get rolled up on one of the run plays, and I thought that's what that was. But now you hear that, you know, that's the head coach saying it. So it's true. So it must be time for Theo Bennett to be the left tackle.
Mm-hmm. Before Darnell Wright got hurt, we had heard that they were going to platoon him in anyway, right?
Yes.
Because Coach Roshar talked about how he couldn't finish games, and he'll get his shot, Pat. And like you know, you put on film what you are, and people start to attack it, and that's when things get hard in the NFL. So we'll see if Theo can do that job, and they've been looking for a left tackle for a while. I thought he held up pretty well today, honestly, when he came in. I also thought Ozzy did not bad throwing his hands out there and using his size to slow down Max Crosby a little bit. Now, he did get beat here and there with some up and unders and going around the corner there and some, you know, hand fighting and things. But at the end of the game, they did just enough to win it. The thing about that stumble bump, man, was they were on their own 40. And he called, I mean, that is gutsy, guys, to call a trick play and know that when, and they ended up running the same play the Raiders ran. They called that slipper to Genty for their first touchdown. They ran slipper. The Bears ran that to Swift for the first down. And, you know, so the play worked. But to go in there and say, we'll call a trick play here because we're going to go for it on fourth down anyway from your own 40-yard line. I mean, the game is totally changing, man. I think I texted you guys. I said, man, think about before, like, this was a guaranteed punt. It's not like that anymore. Guys are just, they're going for it on fourth down now. And the analytics and the numbers are telling you to do it. Really, really interesting and gutsy call. And it shows your team that we're going to be aggressive and just attack all day long.
Yeah, and I think that fourth down call worked out with Taylor punting it to the 2 yard line. Cause it looked like Crosby came clean. Looked like they had an MA on the backside of that run that it would have been a tackle for loss and not a potential first down. Then they put him down on the 1 yard line and get the ball back with a three and out. So yeah, it was interesting. I'm like, wait a minute, this is a punt situation, but that's not what we're getting with Ben Johnson. And we kind of knew it, right? We saw it in Detroit and it's kind of fun. It's worked out so far. There'll be some times I'm sure on post game where we're questioning him, but so far it's been working out.
So many crazy plays in today's game. Just, you know, whether it be Crosby causing a fumble, but Caleb Williams falling on it. The Bears, the block kicks and interceptions and fumble. And, you know, Billings blowing up fourth and one. The center just not even blocking him and causing a fumble there. And next thing you know, I don't know how many takeaways we had and we're still losing the game. And you're like, how the hell are we losing this game? And it was just – it was a crazy game to watch, man. I think we were texting in our group chat. We were like, well, we need six then. You know, we need six turnovers. Yeah. Pat called it in the pregame. Pat was like, don't worry, they're going to come in bunches. And I'm texting Pat. I'm like, Pat, we need more, man. Yeah. We need more takeaways.
I thought we were going to need six. Four was enough for the block kick. Man. A block kick maybe equals two.
There you go. We didn't think about the block kick that we were going to need.
No.
It was crazy. A really crazy game to watch.
Yeah. It was, I mean, it's fun now, but it was a difficult game to watch. It was
all over the place, man.
Oh, it was frustrating.
I was all over this room. I was up and out of the couch. I mean, I was everywhere.
Yeah. All right. That is us done. Want to thank Tyler Farengold for his great work tonight. He did a great job keeping us ready. I'm sorry to anyone that we couldn't get on with their thoughts. Feel free, you can call in the morning. We will be on here at 5:30, myself and David Hodd. Olin, I believe you'll be on at 7.
I'll be on at 8 tomorrow.
Eight
tomorrow.
Okay.
Dustin kicked me down the ladder.
My reviews
weren't good, so
extra hour of beauty sleep.
There you go. And you know, and we're gonna have Aditi on.
See, my hair will grow back.
Quimbo. We're going to have Aditi on and ask her what it was like asking a question to Ben Johnson. There was a lot of people didn't like the way he gave her the stare down. We'll find out. I think she's super cool and very talented. A great lady, so I'm sure she's fine with it. And Patrick, you'll be on Tuesday, I believe.
Tuesday, 11 o'clock.
Wow, that's a new one.
All day, every show. Every show.
There'll be a beer in my hand at that time, Pat. Tuesday o'clock.
Great stuff. Thanks, everyone. Bears a big winner. Feel good. Hard to win in the NFL. That was the message from our NFL players tonight. And thanks to everyone. You're listening to Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 in the Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.